It's a healthcare company called Cigna. They recently did a study. They were trying to find out about loneliness and its impact upon our mental health. One of the things that they found out was, of all the different generations that are living on Earth right now, which generation is the loneliest generation? It turned out to be those 18 to 22 years old. While the least loneliest generation were those at the other end of the spectrum, senior citizens. Very interesting. One of the things, there was a writer who was summarizing the article, and he said, loneliness doesn't just make us sad, it also makes us sick. Loneliness actually has the same effect on mortality as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. That got my attention. It's because the other day I was with someone that I care about very much, and I don't know what was said or what was done, but I had this profound sense of loneliness in that moment. And I began asking myself the next morning when I woke up, what would God say to me about my loneliness? Because you can be by yourself and feel lonely or not feel lonely. You can be with another person and still feel lonely. You can be in a huge crowd, maybe a huge crowd of even your own friends, and still feel lonely. I wonder, what would God say to me about my loneliness? We know one of the first things that God said about mankind in general was that we were good. He said, this is good, when he was creating, and he created man. At the end of the day, he said, this is very good. And not long after that, then he said, it's not good for the man to be alone. God might say to me that it's not good for me to feel alone. It's not good for me to feel isolated. Now, while it's great for me to be in solitude and in quiet and be still and know that he is God, that's one thing. But being alone and being isolated and being lonely is a different thing. And God says that is not good. So I want us to see this morning, as we look at the scriptures, what loneliness, I'm getting a little ahead of myself here. My daughter was telling me when we have one service, I'm not allowed to make any mistakes. At the 9 o'clock service, I don't know if you come to the 11, the 9 o'clock service is always awful. I'm terrible, but I get a little bit better for the 11 o'clock service, but can't do that today. God pointed to me to Psalm 25. Here, David is alone. Some believe that this is the time when David is ejected from Jerusalem because his son Absalom decides that he wants to become the king while his dad is still the king. And so David writes what we would call a lament, or a lament song. And I want to show you this graph here. You'll see in the graph that there are different types of psalms. There are thanksgiving psalms. There's just a handful of those. There's wisdom psalms. There's royal psalms. There's hymn psalms. There's trust psalms and praise psalms. But the majority of the psalms that we have in the book of Psalms, this collection of songs, the majority of them, as you can see there, are laments in the kind of the blue there. Most of them are laments. And so what is David lamenting in this particular psalm that we're going to look at? In verse 16, in the middle of it, you'll see that he says, I am lonely. I am lonely. I want us to see what loneliness looks like as we read Psalm 25. I want us to see what David does when he is lonely. So let's look at this together. If you have one of the Bibles from the pew there, if you want to grab one of those, you're welcome to. We're going to go to page 393. If you have your own Bible, it's Psalm 25. This scripture is also written out in the take-home inside the bulletin if you want to pull that out. This psalm is an acrostic psalm, which means that the beginning of every verse, if it was in English, it'd be like it would start with A. The first verse, the second verse would start with B, the third verse would start with C. It's just in the Hebrew language, which is very different. But that's the way that this is set up. Some people have called this the alphabet of spiritual growth for that reason. So Psalm 25, in verse 1 it says, to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I trust, O my God. Do not let me be put to shame. nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame, for they will be put to shame who are treacherous without excuse or without cause. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you are good, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful for those who keep the demands of his covenant. For the sake of your name, O Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. Who then is the man that fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way chosen for him. He will spend his days in prosperity, and his descendants will inherit the land. The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. My eyes are ever on the Lord, for only he will release my feet from the snare. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am what? Lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart have multiplied. Free me from my anguish. Look upon my affliction and my distress, and take away all my sins. See how my enemies have increased and how fiercely they hate me? Guard my life and rescue me. Let me not be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope is in you. Redeem Israel, O God, from all their troubles. This is the word of the Lord. What does it look like when we're lonely? David would say it looks like being put to shame. David was ejected from his throne room. He was fleeing for his life like a criminal. Shame is that feeling that you've done something wrong, even when you haven't. Or maybe you have done something wrong, but you've asked God for forgiveness and you've asked other people for forgiveness, but you still have that sense of shame that you're carrying with you. What does it feel like when we're lonely? It feels like our enemies are triumphing over us. In treachery, David would say. In betrayal, David would say. His own son taking his throne away from him. How does it feel when the people who are the closest to us betray us? It feels awful, right? Because they're so close to us, we don't expect the people closest to us to do that to us. And we can feel so lonely in that moment. And David would say betrayal without cause. What did David do to Absalom that Absalom would do this? David would say it feels like our enemies are increasing. You ever get that sense that maybe one person's against you, but now there's two, and now there's three, and now there's four, and it seems like the circumstances and the people in our lives are all set against us for some reason? And then David would say this tremendously fierce hate that our enemies may have for us. When David was leaving Jerusalem, and he's now leaving because he realizes his son's about to take over, there's a man that David had blessed tremendously. David could have killed this man at one point, and he decided not to, decided to save his life. And when David's fleeing from Jerusalem, this man does something pretty nasty to David. Then there's another man who's up on a hill, I guess, and as David's leaving, this man's throwing stones and rocks and dirt on David and all of his soldiers. Like, David has his bodyguards there, and this guy has the audacity to come out and to hurl insults and curses and stones at David. How fiercely, David would say, do our enemies hate us. How does it feel to feel lonely? Well, we begin to remember our former sins. We begin to remember our rebellious ways. our iniquity, all the mistakes we've made, the things we've not done that we should have done, the things that we shouldn't have done that we have done, they start to create a more of a feeling of loneliness inside of us, an isolation from God and an isolation from the people around us. David would say that it's like feeling like you're caught in a trap. You ever been trapped in one way or another? Physically trapped? I mean, the feeling of being trapped, like you get that sense that you're not going to get out of this. And that's a little bit probably what David felt like when he was leaving Jerusalem. I might not get out of this. I probably won't get out of this. He talks about the troubles of his heart having multiplied. He talks about anguish and affliction and distress. Boy, when we're lonely, there's lots of different feelings that we could have. And along with his loneliness, he felt all of these things. And maybe you're shaking your head saying, I've experienced some of those things in this last season of life. What should we do when we're feeling these kinds of feelings? What should we do when we're lonely? I think David's pretty clear about what we should do, and I'm just going to share with you five or six things today that I see that David says here, and see if it falls on some fertile ground for you. The first one is to express your trust in God. We see a little bit of this in verses 1-3. I took some excerpts from there, and that is, I lift up my soul. I lift up my soul to you. I trust in you, I trust, oh my God. No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame. David's circumstances have left him feeling alone, but he takes this opportunity to take his soul and to lift it up to God. And it turns out in David's loneliness, David finds that he's not alone at all. He has a God to whom he can lift up his soul. What a beautiful, beautiful image. But if I'm honest, I'd have to admit this is not my first inclination when I'm feeling lonely. My first inclination is to get stuck, to get lost in my thoughts, or to get stuck on what other people in my life are doing. That is making me feel lonely, getting stuck on how hard my life is in that particular moment. Maybe you struggle with that too. But what I've found is that loneliness is a great platform for me to eventually express my trust in God. And here's the reason. I can't always trust people, and I can't always trust my circumstances, but I can always trust in my God. Loneliness then actually can become a gift for me, because in my loneliness, God can become personal to me. God can become personal to me in my loneliness. What the evil one means for evil in my life, God can take and make it for good, right? God said it wasn't good for the man to be alone. And so loneliness isn't a good thing, but God can use it for good, because in our loneliness, he can draw near to us and we can draw near to him. I lift my soul means to literally, I direct my desire. And so in that moment of loneliness, when I'm feeling lonely, I can direct my desire away from whatever circumstances and people are betraying me. I can turn to God. I can direct my desire to him. And he moves from just being a God to being my God. He becomes real to me. When I think of loneliness, I always go back to the lowliest and loneliest moment of my life, and that was having two of my parents taken from this life. And I think about it, it's like lying in a pit. You're at the bottom of this, dirty, dirty pit, and you're wondering if you're ever going to get out of it. And it was in that moment, in that pit, where Jesus became more than just a word to me. I heard the word Jesus over and over for the first 10, 11 years of my life, but it wasn't real to me. And going through that experience, that's when I first really understood who Jesus was. He became personal to me. Yet there was a tension that's involved in this, because God didn't solve all my problems that day. I had to trust, I had to hope, I had to wait for him to work out all these things for good in my life. And waiting's hard. And here's David. David experienced this tension. Things were not going his way, but he still expressed his trust in God anyway. His trust was an eager waiting, an eager anticipation that God was going to work in his situation. Whenever I experience loneliness, I can turn to God. I can lift up my soul to God while I wait for him to deal with my circumstances and my enemies. Maybe you're in that same place today. I hope that you will express your trust in God, that you will lift up your soul to the only one who understands where you're at. That wasn't enough for David, though. He didn't want the pain of his loneliness to be wasted. So he shows us that in addition to lifting up our soul to God or expressing ourselves to God and expressing our trust in God, he shows us that we can also ask God to guide us. So you can ask God to guide you like David did in verses 4-5. He says, "Show me your ways, teach me your paths, guide me in your truth and teach me." David definitely needed wisdom. He needed to know what to do as he was, should he leave Jerusalem? Once he decided to leave Jerusalem, where should he go? Who should he take with him? Who shouldn't he take with him? There were so many things for which David needed wisdom in that moment. He was a dethroned king on the run. But he shows us that in our loneliness, God can teach us things. Why is that? Because in our loneliness, God has our attention. It's just me and God. I'm lonely. There's no one else around. I don't feel like anyone understands my situation. So it's just me and God. My question is, are you ready to ask God to guide you in that moment? But it's tough, isn't it? Because God might actually guide you if you ask him to. Now what? I had a couple of friends in the last month tell me that it's difficult for them to allow Jesus to be Lord of their lives. I'm like, join the crowd. It's difficult for all of us to have someone else telling us when to do and when to do it. Lordship is the hardest part of the Christian experience, giving control over to God. Someone said it's like a 9-year-old boy standing in front of the roller coaster. He craves the adventure of getting on the roller coaster, but he fears so much getting on that roller coaster. And isn't that like the will of God? Isn't that like the Lordship of giving Jesus control of our lives? We know it's going to be adventure. We know it sounds great and we want to increase our faith in that way. But that roller coaster ride just seems so scary when we're sitting there, you know, looking up at it. If you've been feeling lonely lately, will you ask God to guide you? Will you ask him to grow you through that loneliness, to teach you something that you might not learn any other way? Will you ask him? The thing is, even when you're asking God to guide you, you'll still make some mistakes. And David's an example of that. He consistently asked God to guide him over the course of his years, but he still made some mistakes. And some of his mistakes were huge mistakes, colossal mistakes. David reminds us that we need to seek God's forgiveness. In times of loneliness, when we feel lonely, we can seek God's forgiveness. We see this in verses 6-7. He says, "Remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you are good, O Lord." Sometimes our loneliness is self-induced. It's at its root. We get down to the root of it. Sometimes it's our sin that has caused isolation between us and God, between us and others. You see, David wasn't a great father. David wasn't a great father, especially to Absalom. And that's part of the reason for Absalom's rebellion. David's loneliness prompted him to seek God's forgiveness. There's someone here today, and your sinful actions have isolated you from God and others. I want to encourage you to take some time today to take responsibility for your actions, to take the time to receive God's forgiveness for you. And maybe you have received God's forgiveness, but you're still looking in that rearview mirror and you're still focused on those sins over which God has written forgiven. I want you to remember that God is remembering you according to his love. You look in the rearview mirror and you see the sins. And he wants you, when you look in that rearview mirror, to see his love and forgiveness written over that stuff. So I hope today that you will think about that, whether or not you need to confess your sin like David does. When we confess, God is faithful and just to forgive us. We know that from the New Testament. So David next moves us to this idea of praising God for his love and faithfulness in verses 8 through 11. He says, "All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful for those who keep the demands of his covenant." So for those who obey the Lord, for those who are trying to follow his path, God is loving and faithful. You have not always loved God and others. You have not always been faithful, but God has. That is something that you can praise him for. You can praise him for forgiving you. There's someone here today, you don't feel forgiven. You are forgiven, but you don't feel forgiven. Maybe you would say, I haven't forgiven myself. I know God's forgiven me, but I haven't forgiven myself. Or if we were to say that a little bit better, maybe we'd say, you have not allowed God's forgiveness to sink in. You haven't fully appropriated that forgiveness. David would encourage you to praise God. He would encourage you to praise God. And the more that you praise God for his love and his faithfulness, I think the feelings will come along. So the next time you feel really lonely, the next time you're really focused on all those sins, why don't you take a moment and say, Lord, I just want to praise you for your love and your faithfulness, because you have written love and faithfulness all over my sins. See what happens. See if those feelings start to come, those forgiven feelings. There's another aspect, though, to this idea of praising God. We should certainly praise him for how he's forgiven us. But what is loneliness at its core? Loneliness at its core is feeling unloved. It's feeling unwanted. It's feeling that someone has let you down. So what do you need to do in that moment? What do you need in that moment most of all? You need love and faithfulness. You feel like you haven't been getting it. You need love and faithfulness. The question is, if everyone in this entire world, all your friends, all your family, and everyone decided that they weren't going to love you, that they weren't going to be faithful to you, would you still have love and faithfulness? The answer to that is yes. You would still have love and faithfulness, and you would still have it from the person who matters the most, and that's God your Father. Let your loneliness remind you that God is to be your first love. He's the only one that will be 100% faithful to you all the time. Let your loneliness prompt you to praise this God who is ever present, who is the lifter of your head, who is your refuge and strength. So there's this cycle. We see it a little bit here. Sin, and then confession, and then forgiveness, and then praise. This is a regular part of our journey as Christians. We sin, we confess, we get forgiveness, and then we praise God for forgiving us. This is part of our discipleship. David wants us to know that this discipleship cycle that we see played out in his life is all about relationship. It's all about relationship. It's not about religion. It's not about ritual. So this means that when we are lonely, we can count on God's friendship. We see this in verses 12 through 15. He will spend his days in prosperity, and his descendants will inherit the land. This is talking about the person who is lonely. He will spend his days in prosperity. His descendants will inherit the land. The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. So as much as it seemed like God was done with David, God wasn't done with David. As much as it may feel to you like God is done with you because of your situation right now, God is not done with you. In your fear, in your reverence of God, you are going to find God's friendship. He has a hope and a future prepared for you. He has days of prosperity yet ahead for you. Your descendants are going to inherit the land. In your loneliness, God is inviting you into an intimate circle. And that intimate circle is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They will be your counsel, C-O-N-C-I-L, your counsel. And they will also give you counsel, C-O-N-S-E-L. So they are there and they're inviting you into this circle. They're there to to confide in you, to make their covenant known to you. God is inviting you into this friendship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Pastor Joe gave me a book about a month ago or so. It's Calvin Miller's memoirs. He was a pastor, and he was reflecting on work and success, and he spent many of his years in a church that wasn't that large, and so he was reflecting on his work and success, and he wrote, at one point, he wrote, "I don't want anything but to be friends, close friends with Jesus." So as he was thinking about all the things he didn't get to experience and all the things that he wanted to do in ministry that he was unable to do, he was reflecting on that and saying, really, and it came down to it, the most important thing was that my friendship with Jesus and my closeness with Jesus, and really, that's the main thing. That's all I really want. In your loneliness, you can find Jesus. You can find that he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. So I would encourage you to draw near to God, because the scripture says he will draw near to you. He will call you friend. Is that the word that you need to hear today? That God calls you friend? That you can count on the friendship of God today? At the end of the psalm, we have this odd couple of lines at the end. I say odd because they don't fit the acrostic structure. He's following A, B, C, D, the Hebrew equivalent, along, and then he gets to the end, and this last verse doesn't really fit the acrostic pattern. In these lines, David shows us that we're supposed to remember God's family. Verse 22, he says, "Redeem Israel, O God, from all their troubles." It's almost like for 21 verses, David's talking all about his problems and his enemies and his loneliness and all these, working out all these things with God, and then at the end, he says, you know what? You know, it would be really easy for me to fall in on myself right now, but I recognize that loneliness is bigger than just me, that I belong to a greater community. And David would say that to you today, that you're not alone, that you belong to part of a community. And this is a trick of the evil one to get us isolated, to see things from just our own perspective. This is like a wolf cornering a sheep, or as we've seen in our own yard here in New England, a fox trying to corner one of the turkeys, trying to get one turkey away from the rest of them so that he can attack him. The thing is, it's not about you. It's really about God's redeeming work, and God's redeeming work is bigger than just you. God's redeeming work is you in the context of a larger church community. You aren't the only one who feels lonely. David, if he were here, would probably encourage you to reach out to other people in your Christian sphere to get help when you're feeling lonely. And I know David, if he were here, would also encourage you to reach out to others who might be lonely and to become a support for them. So you help me and I help you. Don't forget about your church family. I read something from John Bloom this week. He works for Desiring God Ministries. And he said, Jesus was a sinless person. When we think of that, we usually have some really great thoughts, like, oh, it'll be amazing to be sinless. Think about it. He lived with sinful parents, sinful siblings, sinful extended relatives, and sinful neighbors. No one on earth could identify with Jesus. No human being could put their arm around him and say in tears, I know what you're going through. His sorrow and his grief began way before Gethsemane. But Jesus' loneliness reached its apex the moment he became sin for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21. That was on the cross, of course. He was forsaken by his Father, Matthew 27:46. He was estranged by sinlessness. When he was alive and when he was on the cross, he was now estranged as he became sin for us. Jesus knew supreme rejection and supreme loneliness, which makes him perfectly suited to understand yours. He is a high priest who can sympathize with this weakness of yours, Hebrews 4:15. But Jesus doesn't just understand your loneliness. He's in fact destroying it. Because he died on your behalf, you are no longer truly a stranger or an alien, but you are a fellow citizen with the saints and a member of God's family, Ephesians 2:19. We had a whole sermon about that last week. We are citizens now, citizens of God's kingdom. Because Jesus was alienated from God and man, you will enjoy the full family fellowship of God and all of his redeemed saints forever. Child of God, your loneliness is passing away. The day is nearing when you will know as you have been fully known, 1 Corinthians 13:12. And the fading loneliness you still feel, Jesus understands. So let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that you may receive mercy and find grace to help with every lonely need. Hebrews 4:16.